When our world gets shaken, the landscape becomes unfamiliar, the big story remains the big story. And the big story, the massive grand story, is the work of God. His saving work of mankind, from the beginning of history to now and into the future. I hope that this morning's short meditation will give us some perspective on our own situations and circumstances today, a focus on how we navigate these challenging times that we are in, and encouragement to remember yet again that the big story, the story that has been always, remains the same. It is God. First slide, please, Stuart. Where were you on this day? Trip to Malta. Wow. Anybody else want to share?
I've been cutting the grass in my front garden, got all hot and bothered, and came in and put the television on, and thought it was some disaster movie, so flicked to a different channel, and it was the same picture, flicked to a different channel, and it was the same picture.
Thank you. At the back, June. So in Mallorca, and rushed out to see the TVs. We've all got our stories, most of us anyway, of that day. I was delivering pamphlets for the church fun day that I was organising back in the day. And I came back to the car and put it on the radio, and I thought it was a play. I didn't think it was real. And so when I got home, I thought I'd check, and there it was on TV happening before your eyes. Just a shocking day. And of course, the ripple effect of that has carried on, caused a war. To fly now is super complicated, isn't it, with all the security checks that you have to go through, necessarily so, but it's changed how we engage with life. Next picture. Where were you when this started? Were you like me thinking it was going to last a couple of 3 weeks and we'll all be sorted out? And then you think, oh, a couple of months? Hardly. But it's had a profound effect on our whole world, and it has a profound effect on us, because we in effect could be the carriers, we could be the killers of our own family. I mean, that's enormous, it's shocking. You could affect your family member. You can even die. And then it becomes really worrying to be in a gathered space. And the effects of it, of course, are still going on today in all sorts of areas of our life. Psychologically, it has a profound impact because of those 1,000 disappointments that each one of us has experienced, whether it's been the loss of a holiday, a loss of a loved one, all sorts of different things that affects. And that's what we're carrying at the moment. And it makes us more anxious and nervous. I think that's partly what helps to explain why recent statistics about air traffic and the number of planes that have had to return because there's been trouble on the flight with passengers, it's gone up by 494%. It's massive. And this year, it's gone even higher. For me personally, it's affected me in odd ways. And one of them is this. So I used to be in the Air Force, and I've lived in war zones and all sorts of places. And when I hear a helicopter flying over, I think to myself, oh, there's a Chinook, a Puma, whatever it is, back in the day. Today, when I hear a Puma or a Chinook, I click on, like, get ready, there's trouble, because that's what I was trained to do. And now I'm back there again. So there's a high level of anxiety And I think, oh yeah, okay, I know what's going on here. And you'll have your own stories and your own realities of what that is. And it affects how we engage with each other, our communities, our lives. It's for real. So we've looked at 9/11, COVID, now back in time, the Bible reading. People of Israel have escaped by God's divine intervention from the capture, slavery of the Egyptians, and now they're going into the wilderness, into God's new future for them. He's been with them visibly, and still was. There was a pillar of cloud in the day, moving them forward. A pillar of fire in the nighttime, moving them. But they were very anxious people, very traumatized people, nervous. So 3 days after the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, they start to run out of water. They're now in the wilderness, in this strange environment that they weren't familiar with. And they see on the horizon a lake, and they think that's going to be our salvation. When they get there, they find it isn't at all. It's bitter. They can't drink it. And because of all that's gone before, they have a meltdown. God's not providing. God's not doing this. We're going to die, etc. The big question that God continued to challenge them and did so in the future was, who's in charge? Who are you going to trust? Who's got the big story here? So what happens next in this story? They send out scouts, and the scouts go about half a day, 7 miles further on. They go 7 miles further on, and there is Elim. There's a whole denomination called Elim today. There's Elim, 70 palm trees, 12 wells of water. God's provision. But they had to go on a little bit further. And they had to be stretched in their trusting of God to build up that resilience. You notice in the New Testament, when Jesus starts his ministry, there's a stretching. He's sent into the wilderness. And it's only at the end of that experience, the 40 days, does he have the ministry of the angels to him, the provision. Goes through a lot. Well, where's God in this? He's being tested and stretched, ready for his ongoing ministry. Back to the first story. The Twin Towers. Can I have this slides again? Next one. I went there in 2014. And about 200 meters from the Twin Towers, you go around a corner, around a bend, you come to a church. It's the Episcopal Church. That's like the Church of England in America, roughly speaking. And this is the oldest building, public building in Manhattan, this church. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go in there. Been there since 1766. And this was, next page, next slide, please. This was used as a place of refreshing and recovery for all the fire crews and the emergency services on that day and preceding days. And it also became a place, a sacred space for people to do praying and all these important things. And so you've got the pews here, and you can see they're all scuffed and marked and damaged. Because the fire crews would lie there and they'd bash them with their boots and their helmets and all the rest of it. Next picture. They're using these marks as a symbol, so it's a place that even when I was there, that people would be coming in and praying, making notes, and that sort of thing. Next picture. They decided, however, after a number of years, that they needed to change how they do things because of what had happened. And so they moved, and that previous slide explained it, they moved the pews to the edge. They kept a few of them in the state they were in. And then they decided that they would gather together in the round, in a different style and different way of doing things. And here's the poster, it was just starting off, relaxed, participatory, joyful. This was their new expression that they were going to be. after the disaster. Interesting. Next one. Next slide. But they still had those sacred spaces, very much so, all around. And their story was all around them, but they were engaging in a way that they felt the community needed and in this new phase. In our COVID situation, so story number two, our world's been shaken and the tremors are still happening. Our church at Sheldon and many other churches and groups have adapted and continue to adapt with the resources that they have now and in the landscape into the future, which we know bits of it, but lots of it we don't. Yet as a wider community and as individuals, we've also accumulated thousands of disappointments in a sense. But we, as the Jesus community, have Jesus as the center to be our joy, to be our life, to be our hope. So we can live out the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We can do that because we have something others do not have. It doesn't make us better, but it does mean we're different. You see, today Jesus reminds us that the big story is not President Putin. It's not even the climate change. The biggest story of all is Jesus Christ. As God's people, his tribe, we are on the move. We don't live in Egypt. We move forward towards the promised land of Christ's return. Jesus encourages us throughout Scripture to make sure that we are cultivating a deep relationship, a union with Christ. We often think of Jesus as Jesus is with me, he's by me, he's going ahead of me. But actually the Scripture said Jesus is in you through the Holy Spirit. And you're to cultivate a deep union with Christ. One of the ways we seek to do that as a fellowship is through home groups. And we're going to spend some time discussing that today. Is that a way we can develop further our union with Christ and with one another for kingdom purposes? Our calling is a big one from a big God, and it's not easy. It requires sacrifice. It requires commitment. It requires changing what we do sometimes. It means you might think, oh, I did that for X number of years. Now I need to do this. It means I haven't done anything. Now I think it's time for me. I can step on and step out. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple is going to need to deny themselves. This is Luke 9:23. And take up the cross and follow me. That isn't easy, is it? Really? So three practical ways. I'm going to wrap up now. Three practical ways to help us in that transition and that move forward. On your table, you've got a card. And I'm inviting you to put that on as a fridge, on your fridge. Put the sticker magnet on it. Because it's our mission statement, our strap line, connecting people with Jesus for life, for hope, for more. Thank you, Jan, for printing these out. And then four specific areas we're using to help shape our direction into an unknown future. It's not everything, but it can be a help. And I hope it will be. Bobby has done a big poster. It's out. I apologize, Bobby. It's a banner, not a poster. And the banner is out there, and it's got the strap line there as well. So we're going to use that gradually more and more and see, well, what new things do we do? Well, does it fit in with what we're about, what we're trying to do going forwards? Let's do that. That's a job for this afternoon. Another job for this afternoon, because you aren't going to be going out running around the park. I know that. Or maybe you will. Write, this is serious, write down the thousand disappointments that you've had over the last 3 years, and it is 3 years. Now, you might not get to 1,000, but I reckon I wouldn't be far off it. All the little things that have niggled you, that have pulled you down, that have are wonking you with your thinking. And then you pray, Jesus, I release this all to you. I release this all to you. Give it over to God. Do not go around carrying it. Because you can't. It's going to get you at some point along the line. And it might not be the first 1,000, but it's 1,001. Then morning and evening, just spend 3 minutes just quietly, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, 3 minutes just quietly saying, Dear Lord, I release, at the beginning of the day, release my day into you. And at the end of the day, whatever's happened, I release it back to you to help you navigate the day. It relates well into a prayer that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read it as a prayer to conclude this part of our service, our reflection. And if you want a bit more formal structure to your morning and evening reflection for 3 minutes, then maybe read this prayer for yourself. Paul said this, I kneel before the Father God, asking that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that close union with Christ, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I, Paul, pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that's the love of Jesus Christ, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We're filled up with the fullness of God. We're strengthened for the day ahead. Tomorrow is going to be the hottest day I've ever seen in the UK. 38 degrees in Chippenham, so the BBC is saying. Shocking. That's a shock, but it's not the biggest story. The biggest story is Jesus loves you. Jesus got plans for your life. Jesus wants to be in deep union with you. And the union with Christ is the key to who you are, who we are, and to the purposes of God in the generations to come as we venture into a new landscape, which it really is, since the experience that we've all had of COVID. May God's peace and blessing be upon us to strengthen us, not just today, not just to the heat of tomorrow, but for now and for always. Amen.